Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On yesterday's call, we began discussing seven deadly sins. We're going to do a brief review before we move on in the teaching. Number one, my background, circumstances, and surroundings do not determine my financial destiny. When you believe your past determines your future, you're dismissing the power of God to change your life.
That's huge.
I want to say it again. When you believe your past determines your future, you're dismissing the power of God to change your life. Here are seven reasons why background, circumstances, and surroundings do not determine your financial destiny. First, you're not on a fixed income. Thinking that you live on a fixed income, well, it'll cause you to fall into the traps of the enemy. Make no mistake, the enemy wants you thinking in terms of limitations. He wants you to believe that where you are is where you'll stay the rest of your life. He wants you to believe that you have no choice in your destiny. And that's a lie straight from Satan, well, from where he'll spend eternity.
There you go.
That's a better way of saying it.
Second, eliminate the poverty mentality. A poverty mentality will hold a person hostage to the belief that there's no other choice, no way out, and that is totally an unscriptural philosophy. A person or a family may not have chosen to be born in poverty, but they have definitely accepted it as their situation and chosen to stay there once you know better. Deuteronomy 15, verses 4 and 5, Deuteronomy 15, verses 4 and 5 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "But there will be no poor among you, for the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance to possess. If only you carefully listen to the voice of the Lord your God to do watchfully all his commandments which I command you this day."
Third, gain the victory over the victim complex. Have you ever been around people who continually talked about their latest mishap, tragedy, calamity, problem, or circumstance that has attacked them? We have a choice in life. We can either be a victim or a victor, but you can't be both. Can't be both. Now let's look at the fourth reason that our background, circumstances, surroundings do not determine our financial destiny.
Fourth, stop making negative confessions. Boy, how many times have we talked about that? In Proverbs 12, verse 14, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "We are rewarded or punished for what we say and do." If you feel like you have nothing to give, for heaven's sakes, don't say it. The words that we speak either empower or disable the blessings of God. Angels respond to his word, which is why we should be speaking words of faith over our finances, regardless of our current situation. And we can find that in Psalm 103:20. There have been times when we've been so broke we couldn't pick up all the pieces. We've talked about that. But we never said anything about not having anything to give.
And no surprise, God made a way. So we always had something to give.
Amen. Sadly, there's a shortage mentality where the immediate subconscious response is, "I have nothing to give." But that's not true unless you believe it and particularly start confessing it. In Proverbs 18:20 in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "Make your words good. You will be glad you did."
Fifth, stop looking to them and begin looking to him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is exactly right. When we look to man to meet our needs, we're literally denying the presence and power of God to minister to us and meet our needs. I remember where I was when God gave me a revelation for the first time. It's a hotel room. I just conducted a debt-free army rally. I know I've shared Acts 3, 1 through 6 with those of you on this call on a regular basis, but to me it's worthy of sharing again. Peter and John were going to the synagogue, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Scripture says a certain man lame from his mother's womb, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple, to ask alms of them that entered in, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon this man, but John said, "Look on us." And he, the beggar, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. By now, you've heard us say that many times. So you know that the beggar was expecting to receive something from Peter and John. He was looking to a man to meet his needs, to put food on his table, to pay his bills. But that day, he got something that lasted him a lifetime. The beggar, well, he was touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. Scripture goes on to say, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter raised that beggar's expectation. The beggar was looking just for enough food to get by, to make ends meet. But when he met the power of the Holy Ghost, something was loosed on the inside of him.
Hallelujah.
Scripture says, "And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." When we act on the word from a man of God or a woman of God, power is released into our lives. It does not matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter what anybody says. When we expect to receive from God, our situation begins to change. And you read there in verse 8, where it says, And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. For some believers, this deadly sin is one of omission instead of commission.
That's true. In sixth, we don't need to insult God by denying his word with the words of our mouth. Let me say that again. We don't need to insult God by denying his word by using the words of our mouth. Our words are either power, empower the angels, or of God, we could put it that way, or we're empowering the enemy. In Proverbs 13, verse 2, it says, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, and by the soul of transgressors shall eat violence." And in Psalm 103:20, love this. Psalm 103:20, it says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening," are you ready, "unto the voice of his word."
Hallelujah.
Our words have a magnetic power. They can draw into our lives thoughts and actions that have the power to shape our destiny. In Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequences of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life." Our words have consequences, and the enemy is ever ready to exploit anything that we say that is negative and not in accordance with God's word. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for seeking is G2212, and it's defined as to seek in order to find. How will the enemy find us? He'll be listening for your voice. Make no mistake about it. The devil's demons play a life and death version of the children's game called Marco Polo, where one is blindfolded and says Marco, and the ones running around him say Polo. When the enemy says Marco and you say, I can't give because I'm broke, well, he's found you.
Wow.
We're not telling you to ignore what you perceive to be your current financial situation, but we are warning you to, number one, don't make matters worse by the words of your mouth. What does God say about stuff? Number two, confess and possess the promises of God, not the circumstances. Facts in our circumstances can change, but God's truth will never change.
Hallelujah.
And amen to that.
Seventh, be careful about whom you associate with.
True.
2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? In Strong's Concordance, the phrase unequally yoked together is the Greek word G2086. It means to come under an unequal or different yoke, to be unequally yoked, to have fellowship with one who is not an equal. Unbelievers are definitely not equal to believers. If you got a question about that, listen to 1 Corinthians 2:12-14.
In the New Living Translation, it says it this way, and we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means.
Wow. How frustrating would it be to be in love or be in business with someone who doesn't understand the language that you speak? Interestingly enough, the root word G2086 comes from another root word, G2218. It means slavery.
Wow.
Now, that's an interesting image. When you're unequally yoked, you're subjugating your will, your life,
to that of another, and without the control of the consequences. According to dictionary.com, the word yoke is defined as a crossbar with two U-shaped pieces that encircle the neck of a pair of oxen or other draft animals working together. Yoke is also defined as the condition of being subjugated by, or as if by a conqueror, subjugation or bondage.
You know, honey, in other words, you're placing yourself in slavery when you marry someone who isn't a believer.
That's right.
We're not making that up. We just read it to you from the Word.
Now, God can help you, but
He can.
It is true that you're in a bad place. 2 Corinthians 6:14 in the New English Translation says, do not become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness?
Wow. You might want to listen to this teaching again on the playback, and because there's a lot of meat in this. Well, believe it or not, after 2 days, we just finished the first deadly sin.
How about that?
But it's good, and we'll pick it up on tomorrow's call.
That's right.
Until then, make sure you check out this week's two-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching, up on our website where it says
HaroldHearing.com.
Soul seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you, have you put in the ground. Do what He says. So whoever asks. Until tomorrow morning, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.